Get started. This is the Emergency Medical Care Committee, so if you are in attendance for another meeting, you may want to step out. Let's introduce ourselves, going from left to right, committee members.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Patrick Powers, representing the Board of Supervisors, 2nd District.
Hi, my name is Ron Blau, representing Board of Supervisors, 1st District.
Good morning. Tammy McConnell, Orange County Emergency Medical Services.
Sam Stratton, Orange County EMS Medical Director.
Michelle Tom, Society of Emergency Medicine.
Wolfgang Kanabe, representing Orange County Fire Chiefs Association.
John Gilway, UC Irvine Health, representing the 4th Supervisorial District.
Dean Gross, representing the League of California Cities.
Jim Karras, representing the Ethical Commission of Orange County. I'm currently will be a non-voting.
Thank you, everyone. If the members could review the minutes from the last meeting, and I can get approval of those minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is OCMS report, medical director update.
The medical director update, as everyone is aware, CHOC has come up as a pediatric trauma receiving center in Orange County, and discussing how they're doing and monitoring how CHOC's doing. It's been a slow start for them, but quite successful, and we look forward to their continuing to participate in our trauma system as a pediatric trauma center. The other item that I'd like to report on is we, as reported at the last meeting, have been having ongoing discussions with the Orange County Sheriff's Department, as well as law enforcement departments throughout the county, to introduce first responder administration of Narcan or naloxone for suspected opiate overdose or narcotic overdoses. We expect to at least begin a early pilot probably in April, within about 4 to 5 weeks, and have developed training and other programs to assure success with that pilot. And another, I think, important point is that this is the 5-year mark for our stroke neurology program. We now have 2 stroke centers that have gone through national review, JCO review, and are nationally accredited comprehensive stroke centers. St. Jude's just this past week accomplished that. And previously, last year, UC Irvine received that verification. It was interesting in the St. Jude's verification interviews, the Joint Commission reviewers, who are from outside California, were somewhat taken aback by how advanced our stroke system was, and in fact asked that we publish our results. So that was, I thought, a great compliment for our program at the 5-year mark. We are reviewing data with the Orange County Stroke Society, and we'll be readjusting and working to improve the system based on our data. So we are meeting with them to continue to improve the stroke neurology program. And that completes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Next is the OC Meds update.
I'll take that. I wanted to advise this committee of the ongoing request for proposal for ambulance service in the formerly 19 areas. The final evaluation sessions are wrapping up this week, and moving forward, the HCA will be returning to the board sometime late March, early April. So in between now and then, we'll be seeing the intent to awards. When we go back to the board in about early April, they will be ratifying the contract for a service start date of June 1st. We are going to be releasing several policies similar to how we did this last year on April 1st. A lot of them will be posted for public comment. Some of them are just a reformatting or an administrative change. But by the time we meet again next time, those policies will have been posted. Giving you an update on our 2015 ambulance licensing. We currently have 26 companies and 408 ambulances licensed in Orange County, and about 10 companies that are pending a new or renewal license. Last time, Laurent spoke about OC Meds and that we were seeking additional funding to enhance the system. And since that time, we have been able to secure a $75,000 portion of the EMSA federal block grant that will help to purchase, that will be used to purchase additional tablets for field providers in the next few months. There's also, we're still continuing our work with getting grant funding for additional enhancements. That's all I have for the program report.
Okay. EMCC correspondence?
So in your packet is attachment number 3, and this was received kind of late in the game, but I still wanted to put it into this agenda since it's pertaining to the agenda item B under new business. So it can be addressed at that time, but I haven't, or we haven't had a chance to go through all these questions and formulate any answers. So I just wanted to put it in there for your review. It's to it's to complement the support letters and then the PES initiative handout that Julie Puentes had spoken about at the last meeting.
Question for the agency.
Go ahead.
Ms. McConnell, in regards to the ambulance licensing, you mentioned that there are 27 companies that are licensed. I believe the numbers of providers licensed in 2014 was higher than that. Have the standards for licensing changed or been enhanced at the county in order? It sounds like we've possibly lost some providers in our system.
I think by the time the stats fall out, we'll have equalized. We had several that elected to not relicense, and then we had about 8 new companies relicense. So it will probably equalize, but to your point, yes, April 1st of last year, there were a whole grouping of ambulance equipment policies that had been revised, strengthened in collaboration with the subcommittees, particularly transportation, where we updated and did raise the bar on several of the criterion listed in those policies. So that, I'm sure, was a factor in whether or not companies chose to renew.
I ask that because I do think that we've seen a trend of increasing ambulance providers, increasing license applications for the agency. Do you forecast that to be the same in the future, or do you think our providers are leveling out as far as the quantity of providers that this county needs?
I think you have to look at it a little bit over, give it a couple more years and see, because I'll wait and see what the trend shows. I don't know yet.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tammy. And the reason why I bring this up, fellow members, is that there has been a surge of providers that have been coming from L.A. County and other counties because they're being forced to higher standards in the other counties. And as Tammy alluded to, last year the ambulance rules and regulations were strengthened in order to ensure the quality of our system. And I was particularly concerned, having formerly been the licensing agent of the county, that we were being inundated with a lot of new companies that were not exactly meeting the benchmarks that we have already established within our community. So Thank you, Tammy, for the report, and I know your staff is working really hard.
Any other questions or comments from the committee members? Okay. Moving forward on the agenda, the next item is EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and Advisory Group Reports.
I'll start that. We have four subcommittees. Transportation did not meet since the last EMCC. Education and training met, and the top points on that were brought up. I believe the Narcan, the naloxone pilot was mentioned, and then also there was conversation about whether or not to consider naloxone administration at the EMT level for the BLS providers. Anaheim Fire and Rescue Critical Care Response Unit was discussed. And also, what this group, what they really look at and the value that they bring to the system is talking about the education curriculums and the standardized training and the accreditation components that we have. So they are talking about standardizing the training for Orange County optional scope, and then also putting that course online. A couple of the other things they talked about, of course, was an Ebola update, and then whether or not EMT schools were teaching the donning and doffing procedures. And then also one of the big things they talked about was the spinal motion restriction policy.
You got it out better than I usually do.
So Mike can talk about facilities, and Sam can talk about CPAC.
Okay, so for facilities, the main thing I'd like to point you to is attachment number 2 in your agenda packet, which is the diversion report. So this is the entire report for 2014, January through December. I apologize, the pages aren't numbered, but the first 3 pages of this report are all of the facilities emergency department diversion time broken down by geographical regions: north area, west area, coastal central, and south area. So those are the diversion rates in percentage of time that the hospital was on ED diversion for each month for 2014. The fourth page is a cumulative representation of total diversion time for the year for the 365 days in 2014 that the hospital would be closed based on every time they went on diversion, put in one graph. So you can see that the diversion rates ranged from 0 days up to 28.63 days. The graph on page 5 is the same representation, the cumulative for the entire year of ED diversion time for 2014, represented as a percentage of time on diversion. Page 6 represents the trauma diversion for 2014 and the CVRC diversion time for 2014, month over month. And then the final page 7, represents the percentage of time facilities were on diversion for internal disruption on the first graph there at the top. If there is no number in the graph, then there's no diversion time for that month for that facility. And then the bottom graph is, or chart, is a CT diversion for the facility.
Questions from committee members?
I have a couple questions. Maybe Dr. Stratton. Coming from LA County, and we came from LA County, this is a huge issue in LA County for a long time, still is becoming more, real prevalent there. And I know it's starting to happen with us now in Orange County more and more, some of these issues. How are we dealing with them? Do we have a committee together that's going to look at looking at some solutions to these diversions, to these things, or how are we going to handle it as an EMCC?
The main committee that deals with this is a subcommittee of the EMCC, the Facilities Committee, and they have discussed various solutions. We need to backtrack a bit. Our diversion compared to, say, Los Angeles or Riverside or any other surrounding county is dramatically less. Again, the Facilities Committee has been meeting and discussing the diversion. There is some thought that the current spikes in diversion are related to the measles outbreak and viral outbreaks that have occurred this winter. Realizing we haven't yet had the influenza outbreak, maybe it won't happen. There are some inefficiencies in some of the emergency departments also that are being addressed. Some are under construction and remodeling, and that's slowing things down. Also, Facilities Committee is the committee that looks at that. I'm actually giving the CPAC report next, the community paramedic, or the County Paramedic Advisory Committee report, and that was discussed a lot at that committee, also that subcommittee. And one of the issues that was brought up was that if you force the lowering of diversion, then what happens is you increase the amount of time it takes to offload a patient, what we call wall time. So we have to be careful and balance the two. You can't just go in and hit one, not expect the other to counterbalance or rebound. So we have to also look at wall time or offload time as well as diversion when we look at the issue.
Yeah, that was my next question with the wall time, because the Chiefs organization, we hear a lot about the wall time, and I know in Orange County, just an awesome job that everybody does, and more of from a preventative nature, knowing what's happened in the counties to the north. So thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Law.
But one question is relative to clarifying the two charts that show the diversion report for the year, showing the percentage of internal disruption and CT diversion. The percent number in each of the boxes, is that the percentage of the total diversion that's attributed to that cause, or the percentage of total time they're on diversion attributable to that cause? Do you understand?
That's a percentage of the total time within the month that they were on diversion for internal disruption for that specific category.
Okay. So it's not the percentage of total diversion time. It's the percentage of total time on diversion for that reason.
Correct.
Did that make sense?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. Just helps me understand that. These two charts sort of show the things that we would normally expect internal disruptions and CT diversions to be fairly small reasons for the diversions. They're not significant numbers other than an occasional spike. I am curious what's your impression on some of the other reasons for being on diversion are, because the two most typical don't appear to be a large statistical contributor to the overall experience. Does that?
Generally, and I'm speaking off the top of my head, I don't have the precise data to say this, but the usual reason for diversion is that all beds are full, and there's all beds are full in the emergency department, and that usually occurs because there's staffing problems, not so much bed problems, upstairs inside the hospital. And usually it has to do with ICU. So really the problem is the internal workings of the hospital in the ICU that backs up the emergency room. So I don't have precise data to make that statement, and it may be overreaching, but that's what, if you look at national studies, that's what the general consensus is. So I think that could be applied in Orange County. So the reason for the crowding in the emergency departments is what's called lack of throughput and having to hold patients for a long period of time. Another thing that happens is, as we will discuss in a little bit, is psychiatric patients tie up beds for often quite a bit of time. So just to beat this thing way beyond death, the usual model for an emergency department is to turn over a bed within 3 to 4 hours. And if you have a patient sitting in that bed waiting for an ICU bed or waiting for psychiatric referral for 24 hours, you can do the math and you lose essentially the ability to take care of 6 patients during that period of time. And you multiply that by multiple beds and it rapidly gets to the point where you're unable to take care of a projected 30, 40, 50 patients in a 24-hour period.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And lastly, on some of the diversions, there are hospitals or facilities that click along just fine, and then suddenly they have a spike 1 month, and it's a relatively pronounced spike. I'm wondering if you could characterize the reasons for those as well.
We look at those spikes, and there are various different reasons. Sometimes it's often it's because the hospital is undergoing some sort of internal change. For example, moving the base station from a hallway to a more central area, redesigning the bed structure, different things like that. So it's not one particular thing that will cause an individual hospital spike. It's usually, and the data would confirm that, it's usually something unique to that hospital. So those we watch, but if it's a prolonged period where a hospital is on diversion, then we get serious about it.
Question, Monica?
Yes, please, thank you. Morning. So how are we doing? Is there a benchmark that we measure against? Do we look at other communities and kind of just know that Orange County is better, or is there some metric that we follow or try to achieve?
So the the answer is the way to look at it is for the trauma centers, there is a metric. They cannot be nationally accredited or verified if they have greater than 5% trauma diversion over an annual 5%. And if they have a spike above 5% when we do their trauma surveys, there needs to be an explanation. Otherwise, the appropriate way to look at diversion is, I think, looking at it statistically and averaging, looking at the averages and standard deviations as opposed to setting benchmarks. And we monitor to make sure that no hospital is going outside the standard deviation for the average. That's what's done. And I have to admit that we could probably give that data, but you can look at it and tell that everyone essentially on the average, if you look at it on a quarterly basis, is within a real tight range, and nobody's going outside the standard deviation, which would be, you know, like 62% beyond the mean or average.
Mike or Sam, maybe you could make a comment about, although this summarizes the information for 2014, maybe how we've been trending over the last few years, the improvement or lack thereof, so the members have a better idea of what we're looking at.
So, yeah, we can pull the data for this is 2014, so we could pull the data for the next meeting from prior years for comparison. But if you look at that data, there's really we're on a plateau. It's very very stable. It varies during the year with spikes this time of year, and then interestingly spikes when school starts again in September. And those are expected. So we again average out the times. So we can provide those.
Absolutely,
yeah, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other
just
questions?
Just one last one. Sorry. Martha. If someone does go outside of the norm, what is the remedy? What do we try and accomplish with them?
The well, first it's you know, meeting and conferring and you know, what's the problem? And the problem often is something that's temporary and can be solved. There's a whole hierarchy of actions we can take, none of which we want to take. But for example, if a specialty hospital, let's say a cardiac center, is diverting heavily, we assume that it's best that they no longer take that specialty patient and focus on the common emergencies. So for specialty centers, we can begin to remove or essentially redirect specialty patients away from that hospital to relieve them, and that can be either done permanently or temporarily. If a hospital is for whatever reason functioning outside of the parameters that is set by the California Department of Public Health Services, we obviously are obligated to report that, and that's a very big hammer. And then the final, the sledgehammer, is to rescind or de-designate that hospital as a emergency receiving center. And redirect all EMS traffic away from it. So there's a graduated set of steps that can be taken. We, in almost 9 years of being medical director, we've never really had to go beyond the point of having to threaten to take away specialty services, specialty referrals. It's almost always solved at the lower levels.
Thank you. Appreciate the education.
Question for the agency. I noticed that Mission Hospital is an outlier here on the end in regards to total number of days. Does the agency have any numbers in regards to if Mission is using RN critical care transports or IFT ALS program to get those patients over to their sister hospital in order to offload that ER diversion? Or are they using the resources of the community in order to help mitigate those hours?
We are working closely with Mission on that, on the diversion issue, and to my knowledge, they are not internally absorbing all the patients coming to them and not transferring patients away. In fact, they have the opposite problem. They are taking in a large number of transfers because they are really the major center in South County.
And I ask that question only because I look at Mission Hospital Laguna Beach with maybe two and a half days in the year for 2014. It seems as though they may have capacity to offload Mission Hospital in Mission Viejo. So I guess from my perspective, it looks like there might be an opportunity there, but I'm not sure if they're using the system resources.
The types of patients that Mission Viejo is handling, there are a large number of walk-in, what you call walk-in urgent care patients, and they have a specialized system to take care of those. They also have redesigned their trauma system, and that has had an impact because the trauma system now uses the emergency department as a primary trauma evaluation unit and the resources there. But most of the cases that Mission Viejo is handling should be handled more quickly there than transferred, for example, suturing or something like that to another hospital. Mission Laguna Beach is very much a basic community hospital without all the resources of the, if I can say it in quotes, the mothership.
Understood. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Okay, let's go to CPAC, Sam.
So we talked about
the issue of offloading in psychiatric patients and how that's affecting the EMS system. This is the CPAC report. During CPAC, the last meeting, the measles outbreak was on the front page of the newspapers and all. So there was a discussion on that, and it's important for the members of EMCC to understand and know that that's taken very seriously by particularly the fire department, 911 providers, and they struggle and I think very effectively assure that their staff, the 911 emergency responders from the fire side at least, and also into the ambulance side, either have vaccinations, have had their MMWR is the CDC mortality report, MMR vaccinations, or if there's a question that they have titers that show that they are immune or have immunity towards for measles. So we try as would be appropriate and done in the hospital setting, in the EMS setting, to make sure that we have immunity among the responders so that there's not a risk of them spreading the measles, which I don't know if most people are aware, but the most common place that measles is spread is not at Disneyland, as happened in this one. It's usually within an emergency room or an urgent care clinic, in particular a pediatrician's office. So it's the healthcare setting where the spreads usually begin, but this time it was Disneyland. So continuing on CPAC, we talked about spinal motion restriction. It's a policy that's undergoing revision. It's a drastic change from what's been done for years and taught for years, but we're adopting national standards that are changing the way that we immobilize people that may have a spinal injury. We discussed the sheriff's Narcan or naloxone program that I already brought up. And I think that covers the CPAC meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, unfinished business, the County of Orange Ambulance Ordinance. Tammy.
I just wanted to let this committee know, when you met December 14th, there was an agenda item for December 16th for the first public reading of the ambulance ordinance, and that item was deleted. Healthcare agency was directed to delete that item without an explanation. So what I just wanted to remind everyone was that, you know, under board direction and with a very tight timeline, our office and the transportation advisory group, it was a specific working group, worked really in a tight time frame. We worked together well, and we presented a comprehensive amended ordinance that was reflective of the approved EMS plan. So moving forward, that document may be brought back for consideration, and perhaps, as Patrick had suggested at the last meeting, separated from the annual ambulance rate so that it can be considered as two separate items. So that's the update.
Thank you. Under new business, the first one under the EMCC slate of officers for calendar year 2015, a nominating committee has been formed with Chief Nobby, Mr. Patrick Powers, and Mr. John Gilwey. They will be meeting between now and the next meeting to come up with a list of nominees. That will be on the agenda for next meeting as an action. The second under new business is the Psychiatric Emergency Services Initiative. It was presented at the last meeting. Are there comments by the committee members or questions? Chief Nobby?
No comments or questions, but I guess action item, move to approve. Would that be appropriate, or?
Yes, I think it's better to discuss with a motion on the floor. So the approval would be to, I guess we need to know what to approve.
Support? Well, is that what you're suggesting? Yeah. Support of the initiative?
Support of the initiative.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that and offer that we would include, in addition to EMCC supporting it, that we would also communicate that support to the Orange County Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
There are four speakers regarding 7B, the PES. I don't know if you want them to come up at this time. Julie Puentes, Chief Kevin Baker, Pete Anderson, MD, and Stephen Wontropsky.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Julie Puentes. I'm here representing several groups that have come together around the PES initiative, and you'll be hearing from some of the others as well this morning. Just want to thank you for the opportunity to reinforce our support for the establishment of a PES facility, in fact, probably several here in Orange County. It will help with the diversion issue that you were discussing earlier for the reasons that Dr. Stratton so clearly outlined. I would also just like to mention that I think it's important that in converting ETS to the PES model of care, which the healthcare agency has indicated it would do, it's very important for that facility to have a medical screening capability and to be able to accept law enforcement drop-offs, because that is key to addressing that diversion issue that you were discussing. And also, as you communicate your support to the board for the PES concept, you may opt to thank them for providing direction to the healthcare agency staff to work with HASC and others in this effort to bring this forward and make this happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Questions for the speaker?
Go ahead, Mr. Powers.
Ms. Puentes, you mentioned that ETS is involved in the PES model.
So as part of this process, there has been discussion of moving the care model to from more of a traditional crisis stabilization unit that has been in place in the county to more of a PES model. If that's going to happen, it does need to include that medical screening capability. And the conversion of the facility itself has commenced in terms of the physical infrastructure. And so the community is very happy to see that the agency is moving forward in that regard. We do think that we're likely going to need at least one more of these types of facilities if we're going to meet the demand in the community.
Thank you very much. And the reason why I ask is I believe I remember the board renewing the contract with ETS, I think last year.
Yes.
And I think it was for a 30-year period, if I'm not mistaken, or a very long period. So I'm very hopeful that ETS is on board with this endeavor, because it could potentially change even their contractual obligations with the county.
One of the key outcomes of that board action is revenue to the county. The county does well under the renegotiated terms of that lease, and that's encouraging because it may provide a source of funding to help with the establishment of the PES facilities here in the county. And I do believe that if that's the case, that it will probably be likely that we can put together a public-private partnership in that regard and possibly even bring in some private sector funding as well.
So it sounds like there's some synergies being generated from this idea in changing the model.
Hope so.
Thank you very much.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Were there other speakers on this initiative?
Good morning, Chief Kevin Baker. I'm the representative for Orange County Chiefs and Police and Sheriffs in the county. We're in full support of this PES model and the conversion to this. It definitely affects frontline law enforcement and the current system that we're experiencing. I think we can do a lot better. I'd like to thank the board's leadership. I'd like to thank the leadership of HASC and the collaborative we put together in support of this PES model. And really, it hits our bottom line as Chiefs of Police and frontline law enforcement, our resource allocation, of having officers sit in emergency rooms with sometimes violent patients that were waiting to be seen. It affects the entire mental, the entire EMS system, and it's something that we'd like to get out of for lack of a better term, the criminalization of mental illness in the county, and convert it to real patient care, and have law enforcement only as a part of that conduit of providing these services. So I'd just like to thank the committee's time and effort on this matter and the support that you have. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Pete Anderson. I'm an emergency room physician at Fountain Valley. I'm representing the physicians in Orange County along with the Orange County Medical Association, and we are in full support of this concept. The PES concept is not rocket science. It's not something new that has not been proven. It's used countrywide in many places successfully. The concept is that you take a patient in crisis, in a psychiatric crisis, and immediately obtain care for that patient. You take them to a facility that can that has the ability to have a psychiatrist on site. Treatment is immediately begun. Within a 24-hour period, this patient can be stabilized and sent back out for outpatient follow-up, as opposed to having to be an inpatient. So the number of inpatients will likely go down. It has gone down elsewhere, and that's the whole concept here. We have a real problem in our emergency departments throughout the county with these patients being held for many hours, in certain cases many days, waiting ETS acceptance. Interestingly, John Gilwe sent me a letter yesterday, and that was a copy of a memo that he and I put together in 1984. That's 30 years ago. Okay, 30 years ago, and John was over at the Orange County Medical Association, as was I. And in that memo, we said ETS, which then had 7 beds, it has 10 now, is too small. It's not taking care of the problem. We desperately need help. Now, 30 years later, we have gotten essentially nowhere. And with the behavior health program that we have in Orange County, which is essentially responsible for the Medicaid patients, which is CalOptima, and the Section 17,000 unfunded patients, they have not increased the capacity at all. And that's what we need to do right now. And if we do that, patient care will be better. Patients will be taken care of immediately as opposed to hours or days later. And it'll be more cost effective. So I ask for your support in this. The physicians of Orange County ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Stephen Wontropsky, Mission Viejo. I also endorse the program, but I have one caveat that needs to be incorporated into it. And that's something that I'm addressing also to Margie here, and that she have her business counsel send a letter in to back up my position on this. And what it is that I want equal business opportunity to be afforded to all potential providers, all right? And with that idea in mind, I sent in a letter, and I have a couple of questions I think everybody needs to address. And one is the proposed PES program open for all participation, for participation to all Orange County licensed ambulance providers? That's number one. Number two, will Care Ambulance be the only one involved in this program? Next question, which departments, the healthcare agency, mental health, or EMS, should a potential provider contact to show interest in the program? Who should they contact, okay? And last one, will the county healthcare agency issue a formal expression of interest document out to the public and to the business community? And let me tell you why I'm here. I've done a lot of investigation of OCFA procurement activities. And I uncovered procurement irregularities at the OCFA. And as a result of that, I was very concerned with the ambulance transport RFP the OCFA was handling. And I want to make sure there were no bid rigging going on there. I'm the individual that was thrown out of that infamous bid rigging meeting, okay? Where I was there to ensure that there was no bid rigging going on, they threw me out of it. I tried to inform everybody, city level, this committee I was before, board of supervisors, saying the OCFA should not be handling the RFP. No backing to that. I had to go to the state director. And that's where we are now. And I just want to ensure that nothing of any business impropriety, because somebody might have a good lobbying effort, political connections, and that would deprive other potential business providers of an opportunity to do business on a fair basis in Orange County. Thank you.
Thank you. So there's a motion for acceptance or support. Prior to that, are there any questions or comments? Go ahead.
I'd just like to respond to the speaker. I served on a evaluation panel for the last 2 days, and all panelists were throughout the whole process reiterated about the confidentiality of whether we were contacted or not to contact anyone. That was an area of concern that I had, but it was very well reinforced over and over again throughout the process that went on. The process was very structured. County Council reviewed questions that were proposed to be asked of prospective bidders, and I think your concerns probably were founded from prior time, but I certainly didn't see it as a participant in this process. It was very, very well handled. So I hope that reassures you a little bit this time going through. That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be people that are unhappy or that there won't be any protests filed. That's just the nature of business, I think, that goes on. But from the group that I was involved in, it was very effectively handled on behalf of the Orange County EMS.
Thank you. Mr. Gilley?
Yeah, thank you. You know, as Dr. Anderson mentioned up here, there are some of us around who have been working on this issue and management of emergency psychiatric patients for many, many, many years in this county. And this PES proposal really is the first time in 30 or more years that we have the opportunity to really improve the way we manage emergency psychiatric patients in this county. And I think when you look through the proposal and things, there are a lot of things that are addressed and relationships and things that are improved that include the hospitals, physicians, law enforcement, fire, ambulance companies, the county. That's all great. But I think one thing we need to really focus on, too, is that what this really is good quality patient care and is managing patients and getting patients to the proper locations, the best setting in which they can receive the mental health services that they need.
Thank you. Ms. Reed?
Yes. This is very exciting. I just had a couple of questions to clarify, because I was absent from the December meeting. I did read everything, and this is facility oriented, right? This is something that's about the place that they would be taken to be properly cared for. And the second question, follow up on there, is it voluntary, or will there be designated locations at all healthcare facilities throughout the county?
Julie. Ms. Fuentes, do you want to address those questions?
Sorry. Yes. Thank you. Do you need me to repeat the question? You heard it.
I think so.
Okay. Sure.
If I miss something, you'll let me know. So the PES facility primarily serves patients who are placed on a 5150 involuntary hold. You're correct that it is a location for appropriate care with the appropriate staffing to provide that care. Am I missing?
Is there only one, or is it a distributed system where there's many healthcare locations, and is it voluntary?
Okay, it is primarily involuntary. for those patients who are on those involuntary holds?
I'm sorry, no, by voluntary, by the locations. Are we going to say of our hospitals have to participate in this program and designate certain beds, or is it more focused? I'm sorry, I missed that key point.
I'm
yeah, thanks.
So the best way I can answer that question is to tell you where we are in the process right mm-hmm. now. When I came in December, a lot of preliminary work had been conducted to identify what that model of care could look like in Orange County and to cost out some rough estimates of what it would cost to get something like that going in the county. After some meetings with members of the Board of Supervisors, Chair at the time Nelson challenged us to further develop that work and come back with a specific plan of what this could look like here in the county. And so we are in the process of finalizing that scope of work and getting ready to prepare that action plan. As part of those recommendations and that action plan, there will be an assessment of whether we need one in addition to ETS, whether we need several throughout the county for geographic access, and why. And all of this will have a strong underpinning of data with regard to where the patients are coming from and so forth, and also what property is or is not available, whether the facility needs to be affiliated with the hospital, and those kinds of issues.
Okay.
So that work is about to be undertaken, and that should get to the heart of it.
Understood. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Any other questions?
Through the chair. I just have one. With respect to the question that was asked by the previous speaker related to providers, and I would broaden it to more than just the ambulance providers, for services provided to the patients, will the existing structure that's in place for the county to deal with many of the patients today, such as the call rotation program for ambulance and medical transport, continue to be used for these patients? Do you know?
I don't know yet. I would assume so. What we do know, though, definitively today is that most of these patients are transported from the field directly to a hospital emergency room without being transported by an ambulance. And Chief Baker can correct me, but if I'm not mistaken, I'm remembering that that's about 90%. If the facility is in fact affiliated with a hospital, it's possible that more of those transports would occur by ambulance. It's possible that there could be some shifts, but today the current situation is that predominantly those patients are transported directly in the back of a police vehicle.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions from the members? Thank you.
I'll just say one thing, Chairman Tom. I'm very in support of this program. I'm very familiar with the program that was existing up in Santa Clara County and its success. And as Dr. Anderson said, this is not rocket science. This is about getting the patient to the right destination the first time, getting our law enforcement back onto the street so that they can do their job instead of babysitting psych patients in an ER, and relieving our ERs of these patients so that they can be definitively cared for in the appropriate setting. So I'm very in support of this program, and I'm very hopeful that it goes through. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so there is a motion currently by Chief Nabe to support the psychiatric emergency service model of care. It was seconded. All members in favor of this support?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
And I think part of that was also to advise the Board of Supervisors of our support.
Yes.
And to advise them. Any opposed? No. All right, so you have the unanimous support of the EMCC regarding the Psychiatric Emergency Service Initiative. Mr. Gilley.
Yes, not to be a part of the motion or anything, but it seems to me that it would be reasonable for our committee in subsequent meetings to have an update on how this proposal is progressing. But also to include the Behavioral Health Division of the Healthcare Agency to provide us additional information.
Yes. We can do that.
We can request.
We will request that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Next on the agenda, did you have a question?
Just member comments.
Under member comments, Chief Nobby.
Thanks. Yeah, I had the privilege of attending an awards ceremony at UC Irvine for two firefighter paramedics from Brea that handled an explosion and a severe burn, 85% third-degree burns, which we know normally the outcome. And it was a privilege to be there, and I just want to thank UC Irvine, the Burn Center, for that. You know, in this day and age, everybody is always able to go to the negative and complain about things. I just want to go out there as from the Orange County Fire Chiefs, as a committee member, and also just personally as a firefighter, to thank the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, the hospital staff for everything that they do as partners with us. Because in a situation like that, it truly shows the chain of care. And it's unbelievable that person survived, and it was due to the hospitals, the Burn Center, UC Irvine. So my heartfelt thanks to UC Irvine, the Burn Center, and all the hospitals and medical workers and staff in the hospitals out there do an awesome job in Orange County. And as we go through this on a committee, whenever we do this, just know that this county is in good hands. I've been in several counties, chiefs in several counties. We're in good hands. Awesome care for our people. So I just want to put that out there.
Thank you. Any other comments by the committee members? Okay. At this time, we'll be opening up to the public for public comments. Please keep in mind that the comments are limited to 3 to 5 minutes per person. Are there any comments from the public?
There's one, Stephen Wontropsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Stephen Wontropsky, Mission Viejo. Just like to report something that occurred last night at the OCFA Board of Director meeting, 10:30 at night. Here's what they decided. The Board of Directors voted to approve expansion of the OCFA helicopter operations on a trial 6-month basis for a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week basis. I voiced objection to the program expansion, and I've submitted a letter to the committee this morning substantiating my objections and the reasons for it. And here are some of the questions that I raised that were not even addressed by the board. Isn't search and rescue the responsibility of the Sheriff's Department? All right. Number two, has the Sheriff's Department ceded primary responsibility for search and rescue to the OCFA? Next item was that OCFA staff at the meeting last night said when they get a search and rescue call coming into their dispatch control center, they immediately mobilize an OCFA helicopter for search and rescue. There was no mention whatsoever of contacting the Sheriff's Department, and I thought they were in charge of search and rescue. The next thing is that I had questions regarding, has the EMS even approved this program expansion? Has the OCFA contacted your group, all right? Next thing is the state EMSA director even aware of what's going on here, because now we're going to have nighttime operations, which are the most dangerous type of operation for a helicopter to fly. And it's one of these things, okay, you got to balance risk, or I guess benefit with risk, okay? And has the EMS said it's a worthwhile program for expansion? Next thing, I also questioned air ambulance transport. And why is the OCFA doing this? Why isn't Mercy Air doing it? Where Mercy is the only licensed air ambulance transport company in this county. I don't have any problem with, you know, backup auxiliary reasons, but is OCFA usurping the private private vendor? Is the OCFA taking business away from them to justify their own existence, okay? And I'm going to be looking into that to find out when the OCFA helicopter is mobilized. Is the Mercy helicopter right there at Fullerton Airport and not being called out for whatever reason? All right. Let's see. Next thing is that here's interesting. Oh,
Mr. Wontross, your time has ended. Thank you. Any member comments? No.
I do have one member comment. It would be a recommendation that the agency, since it is going through the exercise of an RFP process for ground ambulance transport, the agency look into the option of conducting a competitive process for aeromedical transport. I am aware that we have a provider that comes into our county and is picking up unlicensed in our county today and violating the ordinance. And Mercy Air has been a very good partner in this community for many, many years and is a very capable and competent organization with medically trained professionals that have the appropriate licensure and certification to provide medical care and medical ambulatory transport. I am aware that OCFA is currently recognized as an auxiliary rescue in the EMS plan. And on occasion, they will simply put a medically trained person on their auxiliary rescue and do transport. And if that was my family member, I would prefer that that transport be facilitated by the most competent, capable, and professional transport provider and licensed provider in the county, which would be Mercy Air. So I do recommend that the agency look at the opportunity for a competitive process for aeromedical transport.
Thank you.
I have a question. Does the agency have a standards for what constitutes an air ambulance, and is there a process for additional providers to apply? I do not believe it's a franchise today, so it is open. And have they received information from the OCFA regarding their interest to conduct ambulance service on a more expanded basis?
The Orange County EMS received two emails inquiring from OCFA inquiring about how to establish such a paramedic service. Basically, they want to do an ALS service. I replied in an email probably 6 to 8 weeks ago that we'd be happy to discuss it and provided mine and Tammy's secretary and her number so that they could set up a meeting, and no such meeting was, there was no follow through after that. The air ambulance service in Orange County is open to anybody with a license, and Mercy Air is the only air rescue, air medical provider licensed in Orange County. We are aware that there's another company that's providing interfacility transports, and currently their argument is that's outside our authority. Our argument is that it is, so that's currently being investigated.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing as there are none, our next meeting will take place on April 24th. Otherwise, we will be adjourned. All in favor? Nope. Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.